You are listening to the Willpower Podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Will Holdren, and I talk with some of the most influential CEOs, entrepreneurial leaders, and thought leaders to try and reveal the secrets that has led to their success. I believe that with the right knowledge and mindset, you can do anything you set your mind to. So if you want to learn how to change your life for the better, if you want to learn how millionaires actually became wealthy, or if you want to develop and start your own business from the ground up with the right knowledge to help you, then you are in the right place because this is the Willpower Podcast. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down. How's it going, everyone? My name is Will Holdren. I am the host of the Willpower Podcast. Today we have two amazing entrepreneurs that are actually based out of the Atlanta, Georgia area. The first guy, his name is actually Chris Hudson, and Chris actually has over 15 years of experience in the HVAC industry, and he started his HVAC company back in 2018, which is called AirTouch. And when he started it back in 2018, he had his partner, who's also on the Zoom here with us, and his name is Chavez. And like I mentioned, he also joined the company back in 2018, and they've just been crushing the industry ever since then and just been growing a really thriving business from that point on. So it's an honor to have both you guys on here. So first and foremost, you know, thank you for being here.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Of course. And so starting out, I would like to ask my guests the same question. So first and foremost, what makes you guys want to take time out of your busy day to hop on podcasts like this to kind of share your story and kind of share what you guys are doing out in the community?
Okay. Well, Will, when we met, you know, you had a good energy and everything. I kind of see the vision and just had a good connection. So I kind of see where you're going, you know, and I definitely want to be able to. And then you told me about your podcast and saw about it. And you know, I appreciated the welcome, you know, the warm welcome, and also just having a safe space, you know, a comfortable space where we can express and, you know, just show what we know in our field, you know, anything that can go out to entrepreneurs. You know, so just wanted to be able to help anyone, answer any questions if we can, and, you know, just be a resourceful, you know, have a resourceful time.
I love it. And that's what this podcast is really all about, you know, kind of just revealing stories of entrepreneurs that started their own company, have made it successful, right, through the ups and downs, and that comes with every business, and are still sticking with it, are still making work at the end of the day, right? And just really just revealing those secrets of how you guys got there. And so I want to jump into your guys' story starting out. So to begin with, were you guys always entrepreneurs growing up, or was this kind of the first entrepreneurship gig you guys, you know, kind of started in your own life journeys? So whatever one of you guys want to go first on that one.
We can say we both had the hustler mentality since birth. Let's just, yeah. we hustled, you know, throughout life. When we first met back with one company that we worked together in, he was always, you know, jumping on board, doing the next best thing. And that kind of motivated me to do the same thing myself. So when I jumped on board and started doing my own thing, we finally, in 2018, got together and made it happen. You know, so we developed this company. We made it happen as far as, you know, going through COVID and making it here.
Yeah. Pretty much the same. You know, in fact, I think you left out a part, you know, from birth. But, you know, as a kid, you know, he had stories of working with his dad. In the construction field, and I'm the same way. You know, we're both 3 years old. You know, he has his stories when he was a kid. I do too. So just working with our hands has always been just what we've known. And coming out of high school, you know, we both knew that we were going to be in some kind of trade. You know, we're two different ages, but we still had the same mindset that, you know, we weren't going to take the traditional route or college or anything. We wanted to go to a trade because we've seen our fathers and all that. So yeah, this, you know, and just got our training and we decided to, you know, take that challenge, you know, before we started our families and everything. We just decided before we bring kids into our picture, you know, we're going to go ahead and try to reach out. And if it's any time to take a risk, this is the perfect time to do it.
Yeah. 100%. And I want to touch on the fact that you guys jumped into a trade right out of high school. So I feel like so many kids in high school nowadays, I feel like college is really the only route once you get out of high school. But the problem with college, especially nowadays, is how expensive it is, right? So yes. How many kids are getting like a Mickey Mouse degree in a way, right? And just are getting in so much debt with no real, you know, vision of kind of where they want to go. But honestly, jumping into a trade is one of the best things I think someone can do. First of all, like you're talking about, it really helps you guys develop that hardworking mentality, right? And also, there's so much money to be made out there,
right? Like you guys got the knowledge first with hands-on experience working for a company, right? And then you guys have that experience where now you guys can branch out and build your own company, right? And so now you guys are gonna be hiring kids that went to college, right? Eventually to work for you guys. So it's just an interesting concept, you know, like that trade, you know, coming out of high school. But I think so many more kids need to actually realize that and, you know, think about going down that route starting
They need
now.
to realize that, you know, when you work with your hands, AI can't take your job away yet.
Yes, you guys have job security when it comes to that, no doubt, no doubt. And so jumping into that, why did you guys decide to go down the HVAC route to begin with? I mean, obviously there's so many trades and stuff, but why did you guys decide to go on HVAC route?
When you do HVAC, you learned every other trade. You know, I've always say tell a plumber to come do heating and air, he won't know it. Electrician, he won't know it. A sheetrocker, he won't know it. You tell an HVAC tech, you know, go do an electrical job, he'll do it. Do a plumbing job, he'll do it. So it's all around everything. Truly, it's the highest paid trade in the construction field. Right next to electrical work.
Yeah, no, I believe that. So it's all around, right? You guys get all the skill sets basically all in one, which is super helpful. So going forward with that, obviously you guys started your own company and you guys merged together back in 2018. And I feel like that's gonna be a huge scary jump, right? Leaving the security of a safe job, starting your own company, officially going on your own, getting your own customers. So talk me through what that transition was when you guys first merged back in 2018. Kind of how was it scary like during that transition time, or what was your guys' thought process going through that moment?
Okay, well, it's
Down a rabbit hole.
well, you know, yeah, just you always have to have a successful plan. You know, if you don't have a plan, you know, of course you're planning to fail. And it's not just to say that everything is gonna go spot on. You know, as long as you fail forward, you know, you're learning and you can gain knowledge and not make the same mistakes. So, honestly, I don't remember fear being one of the aspects. We had safety nets, of course. You know, we had other contractors to work with, so we were still independent contractors. We just had, you know, we're working on building clientele as well as working underneath a couple of companies. So if we weren't as busy, we were still able to contract on and lead and, you know, kind of tag along on a couple of jobs. So we're still getting experience, getting ready to get our license and all of that. So the fear part, I would say that actually came more so after we merged and everything was more stable because we just saw bigger obstacles coming, you know, and so we kind of pushed to those, you know, that fear stage because we just knew that we weren't going to jump completely out there, you know, without a safety net. But overall, that's pretty much how it started. And, you know, we just started building clientele from there. It was just a lot of networking, a lot of passing out cards. You know, we've been passing out cards for over 10 years. So even before we left, we were making a transition to getting our names out. And once it died down, we were able to kind of just slow rise and, you know, pretty much get there.
The networking part was the fearful part, you know, talking to people. That right there in itself was a major hurdle for myself, you know, just to talk to people. You know, meet with them, make sure that I'm gonna say the right thing, that you know the prices that I give them are in there, and just the all around meeting new people, you know, outside the comfort zone.
But the cool thing about what you guys are doing, obviously, is it's a partnership, right? So you don't have to be the expert in all the areas, and neither does Chris, right? So you guys complement each other very well, you know, when it comes to that regard. And I kind of want to go into that a little bit more because you guys are pretty, you know, special when it compared to my other podcasts, because you guys are a partnership, right? It's not just one CEO. You guys are in this together. So I want to know from the partnership standpoint, how did you guys know that you guys would be a good fit for each other? And when did that level of trust come to mind? Like, okay, like I can jump into business with this guy, because that's a big decision, right? Like getting married is a huge decision. Picking a business partner is a huge decision too, right? So how did you guys come to that trust, I would say?
Well, I like to reference back to this, you know, we have to kind of renew our friendship. Not vows, but friendship. But honestly, it might sound crazy, but it's almost like a day one type of deal when we first met. So it was like a business at first sight type of deal, except we weren't, you know, we were working at a company. But of course, since we start the same day, it was a handful, it was five of us that started the same day. So once we, you know, we were the newbies of the company. So we worked together a couple of times. So we just had good interactions there. We took a company trip with the company about a month after our the first day of us being employed. We got to know each other there, as well as a lot of other folks in the company. But there was a couple of times, Chavez was, he has more experience than I have in the field. But there was a couple of instances where he kind of stuck up for me as well. And I was not so much a lead yet. You know, I was still in the helper stage. I was confident because I was already, you know, in the field, but I was confident that I was a lead. Chavez pretty much stood up for me in a meeting, or when there was guys talking, you know, the big guys, the leads were talking around. I was like, yeah, Hudson's a lead, you know, and called me Hudson then. So for me, it was like, man, this guy really does, he really believes in me, you know. So for that, he would always help me on any other project that I had outside of work. And we just had a good friendship, you know, our families know each other and all that. So it just became a good friendship before we even ventured off into our own businesses. And that way, after that, you know, we were still able to work side by side. So he had his own business, I had my own business. If he needed my guys or my accounts or anything, he'd use my guys. If I needed him and his guys, just like that, or I would work with him. So we were still working. It was like a, like we had a time period to where like we had a practice or trial run almost, because it was about 2 years where we were working side by side anyway. So, but like I said, it was pretty much the history, you know, from even working at the company that we're working at, starting from there and just building up trust. And, you know, and just came to a point where I just called him one day. I said, hey, look, man, we keep on making money, we keep growing, and I think we'll be better off if we just go ahead and, you know, come together. So, you know, we thought about it. You know, about a week goes by, I brought it up again, another week goes by, and said, okay, man, look, you said it a couple of times, let's have a meeting and see what this really looks like. So, you know, the trust has always been there, and, you know, so it just kind of made it easy.
Yeah, that's cool. And how long have you guys known each other?
13
years. Yeah. Yes. Like you said, so that's a good way to obviously do and develop trust and obviously a friendship. So it's not something you just meet like a month ago and then you start to partner up with them like a month later, right? So it's obviously a much bigger decision than that. So for all the younger people, I would say that are kind of listening to this podcast, maybe do you want to start a partnership, or, you know, eventually down the road want to start a partnership, what would you guys advise them to be doing, you know, especially just to be looking for in a potential partner eventually down the road? Do you have any tips for that?
Well, I'll say know the partner, know how hard they work, if they work as hard as you, and just be willing to put in really what 50-50 is. When one person can't make it, know you got to pick up the slack. And when you can't make it, just know that somebody's going to be there to pick up your slack. Right. And if you want to do a partnership, just, you know, be really, you know, 50-50 for each other. There's going to be life turnarounds. Life hits you with a broomstick and a couple of rocks and throws the whole sink at you. So just be ready for that. You know, just be ready. You know, there's going to be times, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. Just know you got to be as happy when there's downs as you are in the ups.
Yeah. Right. So you guys got to keep that faith, keep that trust, even in the low moments. Right. So,
and definitely, you got to look at the other person's background as well, not to the, you know, to a different extent. Just how are they in their personal life as far as do they quit in different, you know, difficult situations? It's kind of like a job interview. You know, what are you doing in difficult situations? Because like Chavez said, life is going to happen, but are you going to bring those issues to work or the business? And then if so, how, you know, so you don't want to get too caught up in too much stuff that's going to affect the business. You know, so just making sure you do your homework on it, you know.
Yeah. No.
Make sure all the success are met between the two, you know, like, you know, me and Chavez is like almost a yin and a yang. Is like, you know, what I lack, he has, and vice versa.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. It's meant to be. It's meant to be. It's a great partnership, right? Exactly. So I'll kind of fast forward again, go back into your guys' journey. So once you guys first merged, right, back in 2018, tell me, what was the hardest part of that learning curve of just understanding like the business basics, right? Like financials, running, you know, how to do your own taxes, like stuff like that. Like, what was the hardest part of that learning curve? Because obviously you guys don't have that business background, right? So what was the, how do you guys, you know, learn that part of the business?
All of that. Yeah. All of that was the hardest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, when our background was work, all right, we thought, you know, we get the work, throw the price, do the job. And when it came down to marketing, financing, taxes, and, you know, paperwork and strategizing, that right there, we just basically had to learn as we did it and as we came along. We did have some mentors and we had some people to guide us in that. We have an office worker. Her name is Nikki. She has a master's degree in business management and marketing. And that she was a big hand on that. She actually helped us out with our taxes. She had people in those places that can help us in that form. So when it came down to learning how to basically handle the office, you know, she had an insight on it. Now, granted, we had to learn it, and that was an obstacle in itself, back to the comfort zone. You know, we had to learn how to, you know, sit down because we were too busy of wanting to just get up and move, get up and go. And we had to learn to sit down and read some emails, respond to emails, do podcasts. Right. And, you know, everything that we're doing now, you know, now that we're in this position, read blueprints and handle when it comes down to meetings, networking meetings, and just really get out of the field and put people in the shoes we were in. Right. So learn that was, yeah, that was a big obstacle.
Yeah. And that's so cool hearing that from you, especially Travis, because I know you just mentioned you're more of an introvert, right? You're not great at like going out and networking people, but still you push yourself to be uncomfortable, right? So you guys can get your business further ahead and learn the things you guys need to learn. And I think that is such a key principle, right? Because success, right, and growth, it's all comes from being uncomfortable, right? When you guys are comfortable, nothing new ever happens. You're not going to push yourself to be better. It just doesn't work that way. So you got to constantly have yourself being in that uncomfortable zone. And that's where you learn. That's where you grow. And that's where you're going to see success at the end of the day. So that's a very important lesson, you know? So let me ask you this. So I want to get kind of more into nitty gritty details. So you guys came together obviously in 2018, you guys have been doing it ever since. And we all know businesses have so many ups and downs, right? It's never a straight upline road where everything just looks bright, sunshine, right? Everything's going to go well. So I want to ask you guys about the down moments, right? Talk to me about what was the one moment or a couple moments you guys can just, you know, recognize, remember where you guys are like, man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this is going to live through this, right? So you have any times like that you guys remember in your business?
When COVID hit, you know, before COVID, we had an office. We had, a whole area where we had a couple guys working for us. We had three vans on the road. And COVID hit. And just a matter of time, we, you know, one thing after another started falling apart. People didn't want us in their homes. Businesses started shutting down. And it got to the point where we were so behind. I would just say we were so in debt that Chris and I took, it took him and I to do it from ground zero again. We lost all our guys. Nikki stuck it through with us. And we got to the point where he was in a van, I was in a van doing service, installs, going back to the office, doing emails, doing everything else that the office requires us. And at the same time, learning, you know, Nikki had us on a little learning program with learning how to, you know, manage a business and what it takes to run a business and, you know, learning how to do it. So we thought we were here and COVID brought us back down here and we had to start from zero to do it all over again. And somehow, some way we came out of debt. We got out of debt. We paid all our debts off. We paid all our taxes. Oh man, taxes. And we made it to, you know, to here, to the point where now we have a bigger warehouse now. We have two new techs. We're about to, you know, get them on some classes for ongoing education. We have a whole future ahead of us. You know, we're doing major contracts now And but COVID, you know, when he said earlier, he was like, hey, we need to be friends again. We had to recap that because of the stress. The stress was hard. Stress was hard. So you're asking some hard questions, man.
I'll add to that as far as what one of the parts that one of the fears or one of the things that made me realize or just like became hard was when a couple of large checks did not come through. So we've had we never had an issue with customers paying, and there was one customer that actually did not pay. That was a pretty nice size job. And then after that, you know, we got through that one. Then there was commercial checks. So we were kind of worried at one time. There was a lot, very large amounts, a very large commercial project we worked on. And we had to go into savings and then, you know, start, you know, just kind of backpedaling a little bit. So at that point, it got a little weary and, you know, maybe second guess because it was like, wait, this cannot be what business is about. So that was one of my things that got to me. Yeah,
that's a risk. That's a risk we didn't think about fearing about having contractors not paying you. When homeowners is one thing, and then putting them through collections is another. And then when you got contractors who just decide not to pay you, or they get fired on a job. And now what do? You're left dealing with the homeowner who isn't satisfied with that contractor, and now you got to prove to yourself to that owner of that building that, you know what I mean, hey, that was him, this is not us, you know. So there's a risk in all that, and it was something that we weren't used to, let's just say that. It's not that we were fearful of it, we just, you know, we're like, hey, let's just go do it, we got it
right. No, I can only imagine what that situation would be like, because obviously you guys have expenses going out when you're getting materials and stuff for projects. And then when that check doesn't come back in, like, it's like now you're in the hole that much money, right? And now you guys got to find a way to cover that. But that's business. Right? Like, that happens. You got to factor that into like the business plan, right? So I want to tap into the minds a little bit. So talk to me during that time, during COVID, you guys are working on vans, right? You got people canceling your checks. Did it ever cross your mind to like we're done? Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Not fully. You know, not fully. We've always pulled through. And there's by the grace.
A smidge of hope.
Yeah, it's like that. And it's funny how it happens, because it's almost every time too, you know. So we never fall straight on our backs. You know, it's it might be a big stumble, or it might look like we're gonna fall, but last minute, you know, things just pull through. So
something always happens.
Yeah,
something always happens, man. So like in a good sense, you know, right when you're at the thin line, then all of a sudden you make it to the other side. You know what I mean? So as long as you hang in there, the other side, you know, the grass is greener. You know,
right. Yeah. So because you're gonna, it's not gonna be perfect. It's not gonna be perfect. I mean, it's just like, you know, air touches our marriage. We're married to this company, and so we can't quit it. You know, it's just like you can't quit a marriage. Like, there's going to be hard times. It's going to be hard times in business, you know. And if you push through and just learn from those mistakes, or just try to prepare for those mistakes and keep growing, then you'll be fine. So, you know, it gets really, really tough. It does, you know, kind of affect you mentally, you know. Then you have a family to support as well. So as long as you have a good, you know, at home life. And so that's another reason why we're able to do it, you know. He has a stable household. I have a stable household. And that's one thing that kind of helped push us through. And then, you know, to where, you know, our families were patient with us and everything worked out, money came back.
Right. Right. Yeah. I can only imagine. And that is honestly, it's such a great mindset to have. And that's truly what a successful entrepreneur's mindset is. Now, I'm not just saying that because I've interviewed hundreds of entrepreneurs, right, that are worth a lot of money, right? And all of them have had a low moment where they've had to push through. It was like bankrupt, right? Or start over. And that's what it is, right? So, and they found a way to do it. So it's super cool to kind of see that same scenario, you know, obviously playing in your business. It's just a different scenario because of your business, the business that you're in, but you still push through it, right? So I know that a huge amount of success is going to be coming your guys' way. So that's going to be super cool to see, you know, in the next years and how you guys grow and thrive. Because one of the things is who could have accounted for COVID, right? Like something like that should just happen. Like, no, right? And of course, it's 2 years after you guys start your business. Like, that happens, like one of the weirdest things in the 21st century, right? So, like, who can account for that? And now you guys, have survived that. So that's super cool. So talk to me, have you guys put in any, you know, I guess procedures or any way that you guys are now mitigating risk for like certain scenarios like that popping up again? Like, for say a contractor doesn't pay you or another freak thing like COVID, like, are you guys now implementing any procedures or policies that you guys are kind of more prepared if something like that happens again in the future?
Yeah, we have stronger contracts, you know, and you know, in all transparency, you know, since we're entrepreneurs, so this is part of the things we fail. A couple of those jobs, we might have been a thing I overlooked or Travis overlooked as far as in the blueprints. So some of those things we kind of had coming to us. So those were those mistakes, you know, we just had to prepare for those. We just go in with a magnifying glass on certain jobs, especially on commercial jobs. There's a lot of fine print. There's a reason why blueprints are, 2 foot by 3 foot long, yeah, and sometimes bigger, you know, like poster board size, and there's 50 pages. There's a reason, because there's a lot. It's almost like having a small almanac. Right. But all, so that's how we prepare for those, you know, mishaps. But as far as on the residential side and contractors not paying, we have a better contract. And then we're also more equipped. So we have, you know, a legal side, you know, that's ready to take action as well. Also a collection agency, you know, just in case if we have to, if it comes down to that. So fortunately, we don't have to do it twice. And but other than that, you know, that's how we prepare for those particular instances.
Better right. CPAs, tax people. We got future plans for, you know, having the money roll in, stronger preventative maintenance agreements. Also working with our banks with having a money marketing account, having a stronger savings account, you know, all that comes into play, you know, when it comes down to having money make itself. And that right there is the stuff in play that's actually we learned from, and that was stuff we didn't know in the beginning.
Right. And that to me is the key, where you guys were able to learn from these events. And, you know, to me, like hearing this for the first time, like some of these things were kind of a blessing in disguise, right? Because the way these things happened to begin with, they didn't put you out. They didn't put you under. You guys survived them. Right. And now you guys have learned from those mistakes. And now you have better policies and procedures in place where it's really not going to happen again. Where in reality, it could have been a much bigger check that didn't come in, and then you guys would have been under, you know? So it's all about what you make of the situation. Obviously, you guys have learned from it, right? And are going in a positive direction for it. So that's really cool to see. So talk to me. So going forward, how do you guys go out there and acquire customers actually? So are you guys just handing out business cards right now, or do you just go out networking or advertising, or kind of what's your guys' route for getting customers in your business?
Almost anything you can think of. We're online.
Everything.
Because, everything. I mean, you have to be. You have to be. And there's not a place where you can kind of just, you know, not do as much in the other. I mean, the easiest way to do is just kind of scale it down to where you're not so worried about your online presence, and then you forget about your face-to-face, and or where you're worried about lead generation companies. Because a lot of those sound good, especially when you first get into business. When you first get into business, and this goes out to all the entrepreneurs as well, as soon as your name is on Google, you're going to get 3 to 5, maybe more phone calls almost every day. I see your name on Google. You need more reviews. I can do your web pages. Just a lot of commercial companies out there. So they're either doing that or trying to sell you leads, or at least in the trade industry. Right. Sell you leads or have you more known on Google, and, you know, just as far as just having your SEO, just having that flourish. So I wouldn't recommend those. You know, I would say it's better just to do the legwork as well. So our number one is the legwork, because when we first started passing out business cards before we actually branched off, social media was used strictly for social media. It really wasn't for advertising. This right around the time of Instagram came out, but it wasn't what Instagram is now. Right now you have advertisement every time you scroll, go past stories. Same thing on Facebook. So this is right when there were sites strictly for trades like Angie's List,
Thumbtack,
and all of that. And now a lot of that is just integrated into social media because, you know, if you say a certain thing, your phone is going to pick it up and it's going to have an advertisement for that on any social media that you go to. So I would say that just make sure it's balanced, but we do have, you know, good online presence. We do a little bit of advertising on Facebook, Instagram, you know, we continuously post videos, pictures, but nothing beats legwork and word of mouth though. Yeah. So we do that just as much. So it's almost even across the board. I would even almost say that we do the legwork and word of mouth. That's our number one. Because I mean,
it's easier to build relationships that
you build relationships, and it's also free, you know, and it's, you know, a course that I took for marketing. You know, the guy said, you're crazy if you're going out paying for leads, make the connection, it's free. Just make you're making the connection, you're building a relationship. And my motto, or what I always stood by before, as I branched out, I treated every customer correctly, of course. But in my mind, it was more than just a customer. This is going to be someone that's going to help my future, because one person equals four to me. Because they're going to refer, you know, they're going to refer me to one, if not close to four people, and you know, it just grows on from there. So just doing the legwork is more, you know, you get a better retention rate as well from your folks.
Yeah, those are all fantastic points. I think a lot of people starting out in business definitely miss out on that because they're like, oh, well, I'm just going to go and spend money on ads, when in reality, it's all about relationships, right? So one way or another, you got to go face-to-face, meet other people, shake some hands, and that's really how you're going to get your customer base starting out. And then maybe once you're bigger, obviously you have, you know, some budget you can kind of put towards some ads, then you can go ahead and do that. But starting out, like just what you're talking about, it's all about meeting people face-to-face and creating those relationships to start out, you know, the company. And that's where referrals come too, right? So having good relationships and treating your customers the right way, you know, so super important. Before we run out of time here, I just have a couple more questions for you guys. So one, you guys have already accomplished so much. You guys have been through so much and you guys are still going so strong right now, which is awesome. But looking forward, like the next couple of years or even next decade, I mean, what are your guys' main goals that you have for your business going forward?
Well, the main goal for the business is to solidify our name in this commercial line. And to say, you know, put our name out there in the residentials. We want to hire some more people, educated people, and if we can expand the business in all fields of heating and air. You know, there's a lot in heating and air. It's not just service and maintenance. You know, there's also duct cleanings. There's indoor air quality, specializing in indoor air quality. There's a lot more to it than you think. And same thing with commercial work, you know, you just don't do retrofit installations. You know, there's a lot involved. So really want to have my guys educated, want to expand our knowledge as far as the business line goes, have some marketing billboards if possible, you know, but just all around a successful business, you know.
Growing the business. So we're also looking at acquiring or adding plumbing and electric to the company as well. So with the next 10 years, you know, it's pretty much going to be there. You know, we're pretty much on track to acquiring those. And, you know, if you pay attention to any of the trades, heating and air companies are at the top. Like you said, it's the highest paid, you know, next to the electricians. But overall, it's the heating and air companies that are adding plumbing and electrical services to their business. Electrical companies are not adding heating and air. Plumbing and business are not adding heating and air. The heating and air businesses are buying those out. And if anything, you have plumbing and electrical that come up under that umbrella. So that's pretty much what we're on track to do.
So it sounds like you guys are in a perfect position for a market takeover here in the next couple of years, right? So
definitely.
Yes, absolutely. And what part of Atlanta do you guys cover? Are you guys all over Georgia or Atlanta, or kind of what areas you guys cover?
So our residential side, we're strong on the west side of Atlanta, metro Atlanta. So Douglasville, Paulding, Cobb, but we also do Fulton, and pretty much around the perimeter of Fulton as well. So a little bit of Roswell, Sandy Springs, Alpharetta, a little bit of Decatur, and all the way to Atlanta. So any side, you know, west of that, it's pretty much what we cover. And probably even Woodstock as well. Anything outside of that just gets a little bit out of our range. You know, if we can't get to our customers, you know, within a certain amount of time or a certain amount of miles, then, you know, we don't.
Our commercial side is basically the state of Georgia. You know, we've done jobs in Savannah, done jobs, you know, outside, you know, what is that, Warner Robins. So we've, when it comes down to commercial, you know, we're just all around the state of Georgia.
Awesome. Well, you guys are absolutely crushing it. And I'm excited to see what's going to go on with your business in, you know, the next couple of years and even decades, see where it goes to. But before we hop off, I mean, is there anything else that you guys would like to say? And if people want to reach out to you or find you guys, how can they go about doing that?
Okay. Yeah. We have a website. It's www.airtouchhvac.com. Same name for the Facebook. If you look it up on Facebook through the search bar. Instagram is airtouch_HVAC. So that's how we can be reached. Our phone number is 678-401-6821. You can actually text that line as well. That goes directly to our admin. So any time of the day or night, you know, if you just want to contact or send a message through, you know, we'll be definitely in contact.
And if you want success, you know, pray to God, you know, put him in first and he got you.
Right. That's so important. That's so important. All right, guys, there you have it. Chavez and Chris, thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Okay. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, man. Good meeting. Hey. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we owe.